If you got your Bible today, guess where we're going to be? Anyone know? In the book of Matthew. No, we're in the Matthew 6. And we're going to talk on some things. So if you want to go to Matthew 6, you can right now. Now, at the conclusion of today's message, I have a white paper for anyone that wants it. If we run out of those, be sure to tell me. We'll get you one. What it's going to do is cover some of the points that I'm going to go over today. So if you're in Matthew 12, we're talking about the basic teachings of Jesus. For you guys that haven't been with us, just a quick little catch-up. I want to go as fast as I can today over the matter, because I know Father's going to speak in your heart. You'll have the notes, but I can hardly wait till we get to baptize people. It's a really cool thing that we're going to do. But we've been teaching about the basic teachings of Jesus. In other words, His agenda, His core values, that the church world knows a little bit about the birth and resurrection. I mean the birth, and then a little bit about the crucifixion and resurrection. And we put a whole bunch of stuff in between that's good stuff. But somewhere the church has got off base and has missed the very teaching and the foundation of who Jesus is. And we're watching right now the church going through this metamorphosis, and it's not a good thing, because other doctrines are beginning to creep in a church of Gnosticism. I'm going to tell you, as this world goes further and further south, we have to anchor ourselves in Jesus' teaching, the core values of heaven, His agenda. So this morning, we're going to talk about fasting. And when I've told some people, they did like, I can't fast. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to call us to a fast when we finish this today, but you're going to see the true reason and how easy this can be. Don't worry, I'm not going to call any of you to a 40-day fast. Don't worry about that at all, except Barron. Because Barron sits way over there where I can't use him anymore. He's not my guinea pig over here anymore. So, you know, there's retribution. Because we're going to teach that about that. But you know what? What I want to do is we want to be sure that we cover everything in the Scripture in this teaching. So we're going to do this very little short vignette in Matthew 6, verse 1 through 4. And it's going to be quick, but I want us to grasp it. And so let's just begin to read there real quick. It says, be careful. What does that mean when someone says, be careful? It's like a caution sign, right? You know, caution, don't go on, you know, bridges out. You keep driving past that sign, what happens? You're like that guy, lady we saw in the news yesterday. She just passed all these cars off, drove into this water where the flooding was happening, and she almost died. There were five guys out there trying to get her out of her car after it submerged. And sometimes we see these caution signs and we just run right through them. So here it goes. It says, be careful. Do your acts of righteousness. Remember, we talked about that when you go to the, a couple of verses before this, when you go to the altar and you have your gift of righteousness, be sure things are straight between you and other people. If not, go take care of it. Now, in that, acts of righteousness could very well be, at that time, bringing the bull, bringing the turtle dove, bringing those things for sacrifices. Here it's talking about an act of worship. Anyone know what that might be or guess what that might be? Today, we have people teaching in Sunday school. There is an act of worship that is taking place. Maybe helping somebody change somebody's tire. Maybe some way where we extend a service of the kingdom, a work. Now, will works get you into heaven? No, but we're going to find out in a couple weeks you're going to be judged by those works. Because James tells us, faith without works is dead. It's no good. So don't brag about having a faith if you're not going to do anything for the kingdom. But he's saying, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Ouch. So when you give to the needy, does it say if you give to the needy? No, it says when you give to the needy. As people, one of our acts of righteousness should be to help the needy. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you and reward you openly. I'm going to give one example of this so that we understand it. Okay? Several years ago, when we were in the old building, we were doing a thing called Alpha on a Sunday night. And during that time, someone came into our parking lot and broke into Dorothy's car. They busted a window out, took her purse, and she only had $2 in there. Isn't that right? So they busted her window out for $2. Now, it's covered by insurance, but she would have a deductible to meet. We had a person in our congregation at that time come to me, and he said, I want to pay for her window. And I said, good for you. Now, you can do one of two things. You can just go and take care of it, or if you want to earn tax deductible receipt from that, you can give to the church. Church can take care of it for you. And he didn't want to do either one of those. He began to tell everybody in the church, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take care of her window. And I pulled him aside. I said, listen, the scripture says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. In other words, keep it a secret. And as you keep it a secret, God will be able to reward you openly, either in this life or something way to come. But the scripture says this, you do it in private so your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. And if you do, there will be no reward for you in heaven. So this great thing that he did for Dorothy, he gets absolutely no reward in heaven at all for what he did. His reward came from that moment when we went, good job! And that was it. That's all he got. And instead of getting a little gold or a little silver in the kingdom, in heaven, he got it here. So, the quick lesson is this. If God speaks you to do something, and I'm not going to tell anybody what this is, but I'm at a prayer meeting with a bunch of pastors yesterday, and something comes up, and Father immediately speaks to me, do this. And without hesitation, I did that. And I watched this guy begin to cry because what I did confirmed in him what God had been speaking and dealing with him this last week. And my reward, I'm going to tell you, my reward came when I saw all of a sudden confirmation. But if I go blabbing all that jazz around, I'd get my reward here. And you know what? There's a day that I want to stand in front of Father, and we'll see that in a couple of weeks, where I stand before Him, and He judges my works on good, whether it's gold, silver, or precious gems, or wood, hay, and stubble, because when stands before Him, says, wait a minute, I did Dorothy's window. He said, that was just wood. It's all burnt up. Because you did it, and you got your reward there. You got it? Okay, just as simple can be. That's just practical stuff. So if Father's talking to you about something and you want to help somebody and you do want the tax deduction, come to me. I'll take care of it because it isn't going any further than where I am. Because I have seen people in this congregation do things for other people that nobody knows they've ever done it. And you know what? I keep quiet because I want to see that reward given to them in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, the next subject is prayer. Well, you know what? We're going to skip prayer right now. We're going to come back to that, and we're going to get to the good stuff, fasting. Sound good? Everybody excited? Anybody excited? Anyone fearful? Well, you? Well, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given one of peace and a sound mind. Okay? We're going to go in there. And this is real short, but, you know, we're going to get it, and we're going to find out what fasting is all about, and we're going to call ourselves to a fast, and we're going to see what it's really about and see what God is going to do in our life. When you fast, verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. In other words, what the Pharisees did at that time when they would fast, they would take ash and they would put it on their face, and then they'd walk around and they go, "Oh, look at that righteous man. He's fasting before God. He's again letting everyone know what his right hand's doing. There's no reward for that. See how these all tie in." He goes on, "I tell you the truth." Now, if Jesus is telling us the truth, we need to listen. "They have received their reward in full." Kind of takes us back to the right hand, left hand, doesn't it? Okay. He goes, "But when you fast..." Does he say, "if you fast"? Okay. He says, "when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face." Remember when we did the series on hospitality? One of the things that when you had someone in for hospitality, you would wash their feet, you would wash their hands, you would give them clean towels for the hand, and you would put oil upon their head to anoint them and refresh them.